Hi, everyone who's watching. Welcome to the Socialistic Approach Podcast. I'm your host, Sharon, and today I have a special guest, Kaylin. And Kaylin, you recently changed your last name.
I did.
So is Kaylin Curran?
That's correct.
Awesome. So today we're going to be talking about community, and I'm so excited because Kaylin and I have been building a relationship, for the last couple months. And has been definitely around community. And I was able to be on her podcast, which a lot of you listeners got to experience. So today we turn the tables around, and she is our special guest. So before we get started, I'm gonna give you an intro on who Kaylin is. She's a wife, a mother of five, and an accomplished serial entrepreneur. In today's episode, Kaylin shares insights on the profound impact of community. As a trauma-informed coach, her journey shaped by personal experiences, overcoming trauma and abuse, underscores the crucial role of supported community. Listeners are invited to join in as we delve into the transformative power of connections. And this is what this podcast is all about, is how do we grow? How do we heal? In community. The strength derived from unity and the significance of fostering a sense of community as a cornerstone for personal growth. This episode explores the importance of togetherness in individual journeys. Yes. Welcome. How
I'm
are
glad
you
to be here.
feeling?
I'm good. I'm excited. I've been looking forward to this.
Awesome. So, what's driven you to community?
Never having it. You referenced in the intro the trauma and abuse that I had in my childhood. Besides my immediate family, I really had no sense of community. I was homeschooled. We didn't really have much connection with my extended family, so I really didn't have any support. The older I got and the more I've seen other people having community, I was like, I need that. So yeah, kind of the lack of having it is what drove me towards putting myself out there and starting to make connections.
How do you think lacking something drives us to want to have it?
I mean, I definitely think that as human beings, we kind of always want what we don't have, especially when we can watch other people experience it. But not having it myself, I've seen how it benefited other people. The sense of support, the sense of togetherness. And so the more I watched other people have that and be able to lean on other people, yeah, I was like, I need this. Even my friends in high school, they would talk about people being there for them, and I had no idea what that was like. So
Yeah. Did you ever experience people talking negatively about the community that they had? Like maybe they had people around them, but it was always like a complaint. Because sometimes when we don't know what something feels like and we're getting just the perspective of someone else, you can lean either on a positive side of it and saying that's something that I desire or want, or oh, well, maybe it is best to be alone.
I mean, again, referencing the like kind of always wanting what you don't have, you do kind of like you can say, oh, I want community, and the person that you're talking to would be like, no, you don't, because then you always have somebody in your business or what. You're always going to hear a negative side to it as well. So I definitely did, especially as I started being more social as I got older, finally going to like church and youth programs and stuff like that. I would definitely hear people talk about like the negative sides of it, but there was just something to me that still said, this is what I need. And so when I finally reached adulthood, I put myself out there. When I attempted to have community as a child, it was always very negative for me. Even with other children or people my age, it always backfired. It was not positive. So I kind of just stopped trying until within the last 2 years, really.
So within the last 2 years, what do you believe may have been a driving factor to say, you know what, I've closed out on, and sometimes we don't word it that way in our heads. We don't think community, but that's really what we're seeking. But How do we go from like, I don't want people in my business. I don't want people around. I don't want people to disrupt where I'm
Right.
trying to go to, no, I need people.
Yeah. For me, it was definitely repeated and multiple like experiences with not having anyone and going through things on my own. I kind of always had the outlook of like I can do it by myself. Because that's what was modeled to me. And as far as my life, that's all I was told was ever an option. And realistically, like if I had to go through something alone, yeah, I could. I've done it, but I don't want to. And I think that's what finally clicked for me is like, this is miserable. This is lonely. I don't have to do everything on my own. I shouldn't have to even have a bad day by myself. I should have friends that I can reach out to and be like, tell me something positive, you know? So I think it just finally clicked that like this doesn't have to be the only option.
Yeah, and I think the irony in our womanhood is that a culturally and there's something that's told to us or that we believe that we are carriers and that we can handle everything on our own. Yet women are, the largest group to have a sense of community, and that continues to grow. I think sometimes in that share individualism of like having to carry it all, we actually relate and it actually bonds us together because we're trying to break away from that idea. It's so ironic.
Yeah, so I was gonna say, and usually with women, you see them finding community in other women because it is like that unity of we always carry everything, we always have to do everything on our own. Now at this point, I am starting to have community with besides just women, but that's really where it started for me. That's where I felt safe. Especially because of some of the traumas I suffered. I didn't want to connect with anybody else. But relating to one of the things I went through, when I left my domestic violence situation, I already had a child and I was high risk pregnant with another. And I actually asked for help at the time. I tried to reach out and get community, and everybody shut their doors. And so for me, even then, it was like, well, I guess I'm gonna do it on my own. But then like after having her, I was like, no, you know what? Try one more time. And it's been in this area in this chapter of my life after trying again that I've found such an amazing sense of community and people just kind of push them, try one more time. And it was worth it to keep trying until you found the people that were meant to be your community. And I think for me, that's what it's been, is that I've been trying to lean on people that weren't meant for me to lean on.
What is the deciding, like, what helped you create that deciding factor? What, like, how do you determine who's meant, who's aligned? What are those key things that I think are fundamental in helping us discern who's tied or who's aligned to us or who's intended or meant to be around us?
I think the biggest one for me is that intuition, the connection. I don't think it's a coincidence that when I finally found my community was when I was the most in touch with myself and learning how to listen to myself and the signals that my body sends me, that gut feeling. And also, I guess, making sure that your community are people who have similar values to you. Even in young adulthood, I was still trying to lean on my mom and my sister, who, God bless them, do not align with me. They didn't have my best interests in mind because we just have so differing of views. They've shut their doors on me before. So I was like, this time I kind of have to, I send love to everybody, but if I'm gonna lean on someone, they have to be in alignment with me. They have to kind of share the same values because how am I gonna come to you and confide in you with something that you don't agree with? That you're just gonna be like, well, if you weren't doing that, you know what I mean? So that's played a huge part for me. I think that sense of community really does, it's in a likeness. Or at least people that are open-minded enough to accept differences. Because we don't have to be exactly the same to care about each other.
Right. You hit the nail for me, like, because immediately I was like, values. I think this is the year of revisiting values. So we still have a little bit of the year left, but for me, it's been a big topic. I think for many of my clients, it's been a big topic. Many of my friends just reevaluating what those represent. And they're very much a representation of your character, how you show up in the world, what you find relatable, and literally, keyword, valuable. And so those things are very much who you are. And if you are, like I share this with just a podcast we recorded with Eileen and Allie, where when I was dating, I was like a mess at first and just felt so disconnected from the whole process. And I was like, but I'm not even dating people that I don't even know they share the same core values that I do.
Exactly.
How is this gonna work? Make it make sense, sis. And I was like,
I've been there.
it doesn't. It doesn't. So
It
I need to
doesn't, yeah.
revisit my own values, become the person that I want to find to a certain
Exactly.
extent, right? And then who matches that?
Yeah.
And when I met my husband, that was a big indicator that we were
Yeah.
something really special was there. Because if, like I said, if honesty is one of your top five values and it isn't for the
Yeah.
other
It's
person,
gotta be.
communication, you're gonna
Yeah.
have some problems.
Especially if you want them in your life for long term. And if it's your life
Right.
partner, it's for life.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, in one of our coaching sessions, you asked me what my values were. And for me, I've always known what they were, but I never knew how to verbalize it. I don't know if you remember that, but I was like, let me think about it because I don't even know how to put it into words. So it's definitely been like learning myself, learning how
Yeah.
to express it. And as I said, I really do think that's why it's been within like the last 2 years, is because it's just finally falling into
Yeah.
alignment and doing the things that I needed to do for me. Ironically, when I had met that ex-partner was in my healing like era when I finally started, but I got derailed. And so I don't think that it's like, I think when you start falling into alignment, you will find things that you need, like community, but you also have to be careful and you have to protect yourself because people will come after that.
Yeah. Yes, because you are in a vulnerable state. And so because you're in a vulnerable state and you're willing to hear from it, you start expressing it. And people, there are like leeches out there that will grab onto that vulnerability, especially narcissistic people love to grab onto that vulnerability as a way of manipulating other people, including
Oh, I
their
know.
partner. So it makes total sense. And it is something to be, yeah, it even more of a reason to circle yourself, surround yourself with people who are giving you green flags, meaning they're showing up, their words follow, actions that match those words, like those type of healthy indicators. They respect your boundaries, all of that.
Yeah, it's funny. I was just going to mention something about boundaries because one of the ladies that I connected with was like, she offered herself, like, I will be here. I will help you if you have any questions, like advice, whatever. I'm willing to give it. And I was like, okay, just let me know if I'm ever bothering you, because traumatized, and I think I'm bothering everybody. And she had said to me, she was like, oh no, it's okay. I have boundaries. Like, I'll let you know what my boundaries are. And I was just like, oh, okay, perfect. Like, you're right there where I'm at.
Oh, it's like I don't have to worry about her because she has her set of boundaries.
And
I'm
she's
just gonna worry
gonna
about
tell
me.
them to me. And I'm not gonna have to worry about bothering her because if it's an inconvenient time, she's gonna tell me that. She's not
Yeah.
gonna hold it in and be like, God, this girl's so annoying. Because that's what I'm used to. I'm used to dealing with people that wouldn't just tell me, like, hey, not today. I'm not going to be offended by that. If you don't have the energy, even for me to vent, which is what I always try to like preface any message with, is like, do you have the energy to listen today? Do you have the spoons? Because if you don't, that's okay. So yeah, just having that community of people that are also on the same emotional maturity level is it's very important.
I mean, like that was like it just like light up a well, a light bulb. It's time I had. Listen, guys, I was just telling Kaylin like before the call, I'm like, I'm having a migraine. So we're freestyling some of this right
that's
now.
Fine.
But that's okay. We
I
have a
freestyle
community
my
that
life.
Values
it's okay.
Authenticity. So there you go.
Yes, we do.
But you know, that's the thing too about respecting and having boundaries and engaging in community and engaging through conflict and and engaging through those, especially that have that people pleaser tendency. You don't got to worry about the other person. The other person's responsible for what they choose, what they like. You don't have to cater to them. That's not necessarily empathy. And that's not necessarily compassion. Compassion is asking questions. Compassion is respecting what's being expressed. Compassion is obviously something that's being related to you and demonstrating the appropriate level of emotion or what that person may need. But it's not having to walk around eggshells and try to make sure that like that person is good. That's not your responsibility. And that has nothing to do with you being empathetic or not empathetic.
Exactly.
Or you being selfish or not selfish.
Yeah.
What's the point if you're forgetting about you in that moment?
Exactly. Yeah.
Show up the very best, like, and know that they're not your responsibility.
Yeah.
They can set their own boundaries. They can communicate. And if they choose not to, then they got some work to do.
Yeah.
Such a great point, because I think things like that do get in the way of living in community.
Yeah. And one of the words you use that kind of sparked me is conflict. See, people see conflict as such a negative when it doesn't have to be. If you're both mature adults, you can have conflict and it can actually be a positive because you're learning and you're setting new boundaries. People I've dealt with before in my life were so conflict avoidant that, again, they weren't expressing to me how they really felt. And so it's just festering and it becomes a bigger and bigger problem until they volcano. And if you actually sat down with people and expressed like, hey, I don't have it today, or this isn't the kind of bond I want to have with you, you would have a better bond because you express that and the community in itself would be different.
And, you know, I just have to speak to the potential audience that might be listening to this, that may be the ones that fall off, you disappear, you ghost to someone. Listen, I'm not making anybody feel guilty about protecting your energy. Like, sometimes we are put in situations that that is the only option. But many of you out there are walking away, ghosting people, disappearing, not replying back, because supposedly that person did something or supposedly they're toxic, but you never had that conversation. If you had it, okay. Then worse didn't work. All right. You walked away. Amen. Hallelujah. 100.
Yeah.
Okay. Or you get all period.
Yeah.
But, but if you're, you know, making this a one-sided story, oh, well, this person did this and I didn't like this, I didn't appreciate that. And you never give that person the opportunity to hear that, to try to fix that, to redeem that, then part of that kind of falls on you.
Yeah, because it's all one-sided. That's what I was going to say. And some people might disagree with that. And it might be situational. Yeah, it might be situational because some people you might feel like they don't deserve an explanation. Depends on what they did. But to me, even in ending, even with the people I went no contact with, I feel like I always want to leave a situation with the potential of making the better person a better person or the other person a better person, or at least offering them a why and they can decide what to do with it. Because even the people that I went no contact with, I told them why. That last message was, this is why I'm holding this boundary. This is why I'm not speaking to you anymore. You do with it what you want. But I didn't just nothing. And in some situations, that might be what's best. It might be what's safest. Obviously, it depends on the situation. But me personally, yeah, I don't feel like just ghosting people is usually the best route. Just say why. And then if you don't ever want to respond, you don't want to see if they even see it, fine, block them. But let them have the opportunity to potentially become a better person.
Yes. Again, living in community. It's not just about you.
No, as a
but
whole
it benefits
world.
You in every way.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
How has community impact your personal healing journey?
Oh God, I'll cry.
We just asked, and she's like,
I know. I'm like, oh, it's already waterworks. You'd never guess I had a freaking cancer in the moon. I am just still blown away. Especially the last year has been one of gratitude. I feel like I'm constantly telling people, like, thank you so much for being there for me. And I'm not sure I ever want that to stop. I think people aren't shown gratitude enough. And a lot of times people who are very open and very giving, that's why they run out, because they're not told how important it is or how appreciated it is. But it has helped me phenomenally. Again, a couple of years ago is when I started my healing journey, and it got interrupted, derailed massively, ended terribly besides my child. And so I had to start over all again, with two children and trying to heal, not only as a person, but as a mother. And anyone who's been on that path knows how hard that can be. So the community now has it ha I feel like it's propelled me even further. I already knew all the modalities and the things that I should be doing. But having the support and the accountability has definitely propelled me even further, because now I have people checking up on me. Even today, I had because I had a really, really rough day yesterday, and I'd actually reached out to somebody and been like, can you just swing by and give me a hug? Because it's a friend that lives in my neighborhood. And she did. And then today she's like, just checking in, just making sure you're good. And that's, I've never had that before. And so it's like, oh, I am cared about. I am seen. And that heals a part of me that I didn't know needed healing until the last year. Like, I'm like, ugh. That inner child is like, oh, you weren't done. And realizing that there might be parts of me, especially the inner child, that's never fully healed, that will always need work, that will always need love. That's been like a huge phrase for me and for my podcast, is that it's not linear and it never really ends. And I know to a lot of people that sounds really daunting. It's like, God, it never ends, but it means that you continue getting better. So community has been, I can't even put it into words. It has been priceless for me. I feel like it's what I needed to go even further. I plateaued for a while, and I didn't realize that that's what I needed until I had it.
So many great points. I think that it does seem like dooming when you think about it never ends.
Yeah.
And many of us that are going through that journey are like, man, when am I
Oof.
going to get there? Well, get
Yeah.
where exactly? Where is it that we're trying to get? Because life is going to continue happening. New things to traumatize you are going to continue happening. We're part of an imperfect world. And that means that we live in a world filled with many negative things
Yeah, things
that we
happen.
are not in control. And so, what we are gaining when we go through a healing journey is that we're able to learn from the past, not stay in the past, and use it as ways to say, this thing that happened to me and the way that it resulted in me doesn't have to continue being that way anymore.
Yeah.
And then I can use that to face newer challenges so that I can increase the quality of my life.
Yeah.
And especially for those who are logical thinkers, maybe that explanation I did might help you.
Yeah, I mean, I said that to somebody on one of my episodes the other day. I was like, because it never ends. And then she was like, yeah, that's, I like agree with you, but it sounds so daunting. And I was like, yeah, let me rephrase that. Like, what you're healing from, like for me, like the childhood abuse, even more so than anything, you can be done healing from that. But don't think that you're done healing in it overall, because tomorrow something might happen that you have to heal from. And even though we call it a healing journey, I think eventually we do get to a point where it's not necessarily healing, but it's taken care of. It's loving. Specifically for me, that inner child, like, I don't really need to heal her anymore. I just need to continue to show her love, and then she'll be okay. So you definitely do get to different points of it. Even within the last 2 years, I can look back and be like, wow, look how far I've come from, 5 years ago. I'm in a whole different place. So it gets better. It might not end, but it gets better. It gets easier. I think for a lot of people who are healing, it's just that you're so exhausted. And so when you hear that, when you hear it never ends, it's like, I don't have the energy. You will have the energy because as you continue to heal, you'll rest and you won't be as exhausted anymore. And yeah, and that sense of community will help because then you're not doing it all, you're on your own.
Yeah, and not only rest, but then you start prioritizing things that fill your cup and fill your energy. You know, for example, I work again with people who are navigating through their careers, their professional journey. And I always tell them the reason why I don't call myself a business coach is because I work with the whole person. I work with your heart, your mind, your soul, everything, because everything has to do with everything that you're doing.
It's so vital.
So it's just so it's such an important element to keep in mind when we're thinking about, you know, community and what community does for us, and being able to understand that healing doesn't look one way, and that we have to sometimes. Here's the thing, like you mentioned something like childhood, for example. Most things, most trauma, most of it stems from childhood, right? Or even the way that we manage more current trauma stems, because here's where we adapt a lot of our core beliefs, including our toxic core beliefs.
That's where you were
Okay.
molded.
Ideas that we think things have to look a certain way or be a certain way because that's what I experienced. And sometimes getting over that hump seems so big because it might have been the impactful event that is really initiating why I need to heal these things now. But then after we're kind of going through that hump, then you're like, but I'm still dealing with this bullshit. The thing is, okay, you have to understand that there's these consequences that have been adapted in many ways, emotionally, neurologically, right? Your brain now is wired to receive and deal with trauma in certain scenarios a certain way. That unwiring takes some time. So you might heal or forgive the event that maybe led you there, but you are still dealing with the aftermath of now maybe possibly years of adapting to this way of being. Like, it's not going to change overnight,
Yeah, it
but it
doesn't.
does get better, like you said, because as you're learning how to master this, manage it, where it's not managing you, then you're welcoming and opening doors to other things, you know, and that's the important part. You're elevating again the quality of your life.
Yeah, and I think that the community has just really helped me get there in the in that specific way. Taking that one chance. And actually the group that we met in, just showing up to that first meeting was a huge thing for me. I have social anxiety. I'm autistic. I do not do well in social settings if I don't know anyone. And usually that's my policy is I will go to an event if I know at least one person, even if it's not super close. I didn't know anybody, but I was like, I need to do this for me. And ever since then, building that community, just that one step allowed me to start building community within that group and within my own neighborhood. And those people are starting to let me heal in a way of like not saying I'm sorry for bothering people, not constantly saying, am I bothering you? Not thinking that I annoy everybody. So those ways that my specific traumas have continued to affect my life are now being healed because of that community. Again, just today, I was like, I'm sorry. And she's like, why are you sorry? I'm like, I don't know. My brain has just programmed me to say it. And so it's that unprogramming, that relearning, and that acceptance that community offers you that's so, it's so important.
I know, so sister, we're like, sorry, and I don't even know what I'm sorry about, but
I don't know, for any way I could have been an inconvenience. Because that's what I was shown. So it's like having to undo that.
What would you say to someone that feels that they don't have a community, and what are ways that they could begin to find one?
Well, social media, as much as it has pros and cons, it really is the world at your fingertips. And there are a lot of groups that are literally support groups that are communities that are welcoming. You can try to find them. Take the step, just like I did, no matter if you're shaking. it's worth it. It might be terrifying, but braveness isn't not being scared. It's doing the thing scared anyways. And I had to do the thing scared to learn what braveness really was. Because it's important. I never realized, like, I'd wanted it as a child, kind of accepted that I was never going to have it, and then realized again how much I needed it. But it's really having it now where I'm like, anybody that wants it, please find it. There's so many different ways. Hopefully through podcasts like mine and like yours, people will realize that they can even reach out to us. If you're feeling really alone, that's something that I've offered before on my episodes. Like, if you have nowhere else to turn, I have an email, like reach out to it. There are people that will care about you or will help you find the resources to find that community.
And I have talked about this many times before. Fear is like a favorite topic of mine because fear and courageous, like having courage, courage and fear are the recipe for confidence. That's how you learn what you're really capable of doing, and even what you are capable of surpassing when you face failure. So it's all in the perspective.
I mean, that's how I live my life. As funny as it is, to make a long story short, I was probably like 8. I was on a vacation with my family, and there was this really cute boy I wanted to talk to, and I kept talking myself out of it. And another girl did, and I had to watch them go off and play. And I was like, I missed my opportunity. And ever since then, I'm like, no matter how scared you are, no matter how much you might think that you look silly, if you try in anything, in business and relationships and friendships and community, the worst someone can say is no. At least try, because if you don't try, you're gonna miss that opportunity, and that
And then
regret is terrible.
you're probably like, that girl didn't even have anything on me,
I
you
would have done that. Yeah, I was like, oh, like I
know?
should have just went over and at least said hi. Like, who knows where it could have went? But then you have to live with that what if, and I would rather live with no than what if. Yeah, for sure.
That could be like sewed in somewhere, posted. I'd
I'm
rather live with
stealing
the no
that.
that. I love
Yeah,
that.
for sure.
So, what would you like our audience to walk away with today as far as community and healing?
Knowing how important it is to healing, knowing that it's possible, no matter what you've been through or how much you might not see your worth, I guarantee you somebody else does. I spent the majority of my life thinking that nobody thought about me, and it's not true. You are your own worst enemy. There are people out there that if they don't know you, they want to, and they will care about you. And it's extremely vital for people to have a community. I think as a person, as a society, as a world, we would thrive better if community was pushed more.
And no matter what age you are listening to this, it's never late. It's
No.
never too late. And if you're a young person, trust me, it will come. You know, your years in high school or in college are not representative of how you can live the rest of your adulthood.
Now you
Or
got
like
a
a lot of
lot.
us sitting here, thank God, a lot of us sitting here were very alone in many moments and can say we've been able to have a community.
Yeah.
So tell the audience a little bit about what you do and how they can contact you.
Well, I do multiple things. I have the podcast, Healing Echoes. We talk about rebuilding life after trauma and abuse, and advocating for neurodivergency and mental illnesses in general. I'm also a trauma-informed coach. I can be found really on any social media by my name, Caitlin Curran. And you can also find the podcast on Instagram, Facebook, as well as my coaching business. All you got to do is search the name, you'll find me.
Thank you, Kaylin, so much for just offering this time to our
Course.
listeners to just understand the one of the greatest values in healing, which is community.
Yeah, thank you for having me on. I hope it benefits somebody.
It surely will. Thank you so much.